Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Penama Petrochem Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may ask a question by pressing star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Narvekar, Vice President, Corporate Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Penama Petrochem Limited earnings conference call for Q3 2022. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to all of you by taking your time to join us on this call. This conference call may contain some forward-looking statement about the company, which are based on the belief, opinion, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainty that are difficult to predict. I would like to introduce Mr. Hussain Rayani, Joint Managing Director of Penama Petrochem Limited, and Mr. Pramod Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer of Penama Petrochem Limited. I request Mr. Hussain Rayani, Joint Managing Director, to share the Q3 performance overview of our company. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mahesh. Good afternoon, everybody. It is my pleasure to welcome you to the quarter three earnings conference call of Penama Petrochem Limited. I hope all of you are keeping healthy and safe. Now, before talking about the performance, I wish to stress that the company produces petroleum-based value-added specialty oils for diverse industries with products like rubber process oils, printing inks, textile anti-static coating oil, drilling fluids, et cetera. Now about the performance. We witnessed a good demand across all product categories during the quarter, with revenue growth of 20% year-on-year, with stable margins in spite of disruption in supply due to recurrence of the COVID wave. Volumes were slightly lower in the quarter due to such disruption. However, the sales and profitability numbers crossed pre-COVID levels for nine-month period of the financial year 2022. In spite of increase in crude prices, the margins and profitability continued to remain firm during the quarter. The company has successfully passed on these price increases to most customers. Earnings per ton has also increased compared to pre-COVID levels. I request Mr. Mahesh Narvekar to give the financial highlights. Over to you, Mahesh.
Thank you, sir. On a consolidated basis in Q3 FY22, the operating income for the quarter was 510 crores, which was saw an increase of approximately 20% on year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was 69 crores against 76 crores on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 13.5%. Net profit after tax reported was 54 crores for quarter ended 31st December 2021. PAT margin reported at 10.6%. On a consolidated basis for the nine months ending FY22, the operating income was 1,627 crores, which was an increase of approximately 79% on year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was 229.6 crore, which was an increase of about 101% on year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 14.1%. Net profit after tax reported was 174 crores, which was a net increase of about 131% on a year-on-year basis. While PAT margin were reported at 10.7%. Thank you. With this, we can now open the floor to question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, hi. My name is Vicky Shah.
Okay.
And, you know, I have become a recent shareholder in the company. Just had, you know, one broad question is if you look at the FY20, the gross margin of the company, which was hovering in the range of 14%, and FY21 going into, you know, the 9 months of maybe the first half of FY22, the gross margin jumped to about 23%. And in the third quarter, it has moderated to 21%. And probably this was also, what helped this was, from what I understand, is the import substitution benefit. So my question, larger question was, going forward, where do you see the gross profit margin to stabilize, in what range? And in that context, the earlier guidance of the EBITDA percentage of 13%, I just wanted to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, Mr. Shah, thank you so much for joining the call and for your question. So I would just like to again start my answer with the management focus on being more on the specialty zone of products. As you must have been tracking, we've been, and also I have mentioned in my previous call, that we've been continuously focused on introducing more specialty and value-added products, which has drastically helped us to improve our profit margins, the gross margins. In the current quarter, we have seen that there was a lot of volatility, first due to the when the Omicron was identified the end of November, we had the oil prices substantially dropped. And then currently in the subsequent month, due to the geopolitical situation with Russia, we've seen again the oil prices drastically going up. So this definitely has impact on the margins, especially for the contracted orders where we cannot change prices. But overall, I would like to say that the focus of the management is to keep on introducing more specialty products, further increase the share of the specialty oils from the current 65% going forward to larger portion of specialty oil taking over the conventional oil. So we see the margins to remain sustainable. Also, we have pass on pricing mechanism with most customers, which help us to tide us over in these critical situations. So overall, going forward, with the increase in the share of the value-added products, we are confident to maintain our margins.
So the earlier guidance of the EBITDA in the range of 12 to 14% stays, right?
Yes, we would like to say we expect anticipate EBITDA margins to be between 12 to 14%.
Yeah, and the important component for that being gross profit margin, because you're anyway kind of 100% utilization and you're adding capacity and all of that is also getting consumed.
Correct.
So hence the gross profit margin also you expect to be range bound, say in the 23% range?
Yes, would be range bound in that range.
Yeah, because this first 6 months, the 23% gross profit has helped you to sustain an EBITDA margin. And if this moderates, then it will be difficult for you to maintain the EBITDA in the range of 12 to 14%, because there's no operating leverage, so to speak, you know, because you're already at 100%. So I was just trying to get that perspective.
Yeah, no, as I said, in the Q3, there was a lot of volatile situation, which going forward, we feel that once things stabilize, it will be more comfortable. But still, in this tough period, we've been able to pass on most of the price increases to customers, and we've been able to maintain our margins. And with more value-added products replacing the conventional products, we will definitely have better EBITDA margins going forward. So we keep our guidance of 12 to 14% of EBITDA margins.
Okay, one last question, then I'll come back in queue. The employee expense for the quarter was 4 crores, as again 16 crores in first half, which indicates a run rate of 8 crores. So what is the reason for the cost dropping to 4 crores? Because it's almost a 1 percentage point impact on bottom line.
Yeah, in the first and the second quarter of this year, we had given performance-based incentives to our employees, which has resulted in that, in the employee cost going up. That was the reason majorly for the employee cost.
So the steady state employee cost is about 4 crores per quarter, and on top of it you will have the incentives. Is that the way to understand it?
Yes, it is about 4 to 5 crores, the employee cost.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to 2 per participant only. The next question is on the line of Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, for the good results. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Sir, I'd like to check on two questions. First one is regarding which big new names you have added recently to your clientele list, and are these long-term contracts? And I'll if you can answer this, I can then ask the second one.
Sure. Yes, I would not be able to name give you any names, but yes, we have added new big names in our list of clients in this year. And most of the business with these new customers is on contract basis, with a pricing mechanism of a monthly basis and a quarterly contracts.
Got it, sir. Okay. Second one is, if I see your overseas subsidiary, which is Panol Industries, I believe they have already started production there. And if you can highlight at what capacity the plant is running as of date?
Yes. We are running at over 100% capacity utilization at our subsidiary Panol Industries. The Panol, our subsidiary company, is more focused on servicing specialized products for the specialized industries in the MENA region. So we see, the margins from the subsidiary company has been improving over the years with the introduction of new products and new regions and new horizons. And we are confident going forward, the subsidiary company to, keep on giving good support to us with, increasing margins.
Okay, sir. Got it. So can we assume that the margins which Panol is now contributing around 9%, it can enjoy the similar margins which your domestic unit has, around 16%?
Yes, the margins at Panol is about 12%, and we expect that going forward it will be sustainable.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Follow up.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Ramesh Damani from Ramesh Damani Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, Hussain. Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good quarter. How are
Thank you?
You? Hussain,
hello.
I just want to ask you, Hussain, the price of oil has risen so sharply this quarter. Are your price rises lagging behind by 30 days or so? So can we expect a better price realization next quarter?
Yeah, Mr. Damani. So, yes, this quarter we faced a very volatile swing in the oil prices, first going down substantially and then increasing substantially. But as I have been mentioning in my previous call and discussions, is that we have a monthly pricing with our customers, and also about 60% of our raw materials we are buying on contract basis with our suppliers. So this really helps us to tide over any kind of a supply disruption. And on the pricing, normally our raw material prices are time lagged about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, I would say, compared to the oil price movements. And whatever the changes in the prices, in the raw material prices, we pass on to our customers as we have a monthly pricing mechanism with them. So it's a pass-through mechanism most of the time. So going forward, we feel that with these high oil prices, our raw material price will definitely be following suit, and it will be going upwards, and the same would be passed on to the customers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Just final question, is there any demand slowdown in the industry? Do you feel that your volumes are suffering because of a demand slowdown, or is it just a seasonal thing?
There was a little bit of a delayed offtake from most customers because of the lockdown we faced in the Q3 due to the Omicron wave and the COVID wave. So there was a little bit of a delayed slowdown, but mostly we have a yearly forecast from customers for the demand. So we are very hopeful in the current quarter it would be taken up. So more or less on a yearly basis, we do achieve our targets with our customers, but we do feel that in the Q3 there was a slight slowdown in the demand because of the COVID wave.
Great. Thank you and best luck for the next quarter, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Damani.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
Hi, Akshay.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, Mr. Hussain, sir.
Yes.
I have a few questions to ask. My first question is on the margin trend. What is the guidance in the coming quarter as we move to normalized business scenario? And my second question would be, can we have a future order book outlook at least for next two quarters?
Yes. So, on the EBITDA margins, we have given a guidance of 12 to 14%, which is sustainable. And for the coming two quarters, we have a quite a healthy order book on hand. So it looks quite promising quarters going forward.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Naveen Goel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. This is Naveen.
Hi, Naveen.
I just wanted to ask you, so what is your outlook on volatility in the key raw materials price, which are crude derivatives and foreign exchange fluctuations? And one more thing, so what is the contribution from export sales, and does the company enjoy pricing power in exports?
Yes, I mean, so in regards to your first question, regarding the price, we expect regarding the the oil prices, we feel that it will remain at higher levels going forward, and we would have. Subsequently, our raw material prices would be, would be going up going forward. Regarding the forex, we have a firm forex policy. About 60% of the exposure on the forex is naturally hedged because of our export turnover.
and export proceeds. And another 20% we do forward contracts, and keeping only about 20% to open exposure. So we are quite covered on the forex front with our policy. And in regards to your second question, this quarter we had about 43% sales from the exports, and we do have a better pricing and realization from our export orders.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. And best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manpreet, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Riani, quick question. So you mentioned to Mr. Damani that in Q3 you saw some customers holding back because of Omicron, but since you have annual contracts with them, so what I'm understanding from that is that possibly in Q4, you should be able to cover up on the less demand that you saw in Q3. So would that assessment be right?
Yes, that's the right assessment.
Okay. And my second part on revenues itself, so you'd mentioned that there was a disruption in supply chain in the Q3, and that also led to fall in volume. So I'm assuming that now starting of Q4, things are almost back to normal?
In terms of the COVID wave, we are all hopeful, and we have been strongly coming out of it to normalcy. But I would still feel that on the oil prices, still there is a lot of volatility due to the geopolitical situations developing world over. So it's difficult to predict, but on our side, we've been very prudent in our procurements. We have supply agreements with our suppliers, so any unlikely disruptions, at least we have the supply contracts, the supply volumes, which will keep on flowing to us. So we really hope that there is more stability on the in the oil prices going forward, which may, I guess, still take maybe a few months for things to clear out. But yeah, we are hopeful the demand outlook is looking stronger than Q3 in the Q4, and we would be definitely keeping up the good run rate going forward.
Okay, thank you. That's really helpful. And from my side, I would just like to add that I've been a shareholder in your company for the last 4 years, and seeing the way you've grown after COVID, it's been very encouraging. And I hope that you grow by leaps and bounds. So it's been a great journey for me.
Thank you, Manpreet, for your encouraging words. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parag, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question was basically regarding, the coming year. I mean, not the FY22, but FY23. So what is the capex that the company expects to do in the coming year? And how does the company expect to finance it?
Yes, thanks Parag for your question. So we have a capex, we have a plan to increase our capacity by about 30% in the next 3 years from the current So from the current 240,000 tons to take it up to about 340,000 tons, and the capex is about 100 crores, which will be all through internal accruals. We are a debt-free company, and we really look forward to remain so.
Okay, and just a follow-up question is, like, I just observed a minor observation, like your short-term debt, as you said, your long-term is not. There's no long-term debt. But short-term debt is just a trend last few years has been going up. So I think maybe related to some working capital. So how do you plan to bring that under control, or is that a concern for the company, if at all?
Yeah, so no, it's not a concern. It is well under control, the short-term. Mr. Mahesh, would you like to add something on it?
Yes. If you see the working capital cycle, it has remained stable over a period of time. And we are enjoying a very good cash credit. So we suppose that we don't require much commitment as far as working capital is concerned, because we do have adequate funds with us. Working capital requirement is not that much.
Okay, and just one last question which I had is like, just assuming that positively thinking that as we go in the next year, that is, you know, next financial year, you know, we move into a COVID-free scenario. So leaving COVID behind and whatever supply chain issues that have resulted, other than that, and other than oil, which no one can predict, what are the major challenges that Panama, you know, sees itself? I mean, assuming that there is no COVID and oil no one can predict. Other than that, what would be the major challenges that, you know, the company sees and how it plans to tackle it?
Yeah, Parag. So there are no other challenges except the volatility of the oil prices and, the lockdowns that we've been facing over 2 years due to the COVID waves. But other than that, we are well on course. The R&D team is continuously adding new sets of products which are more on environmental friendly, more cleaner and greener products, meeting international regulations. So we are well on course in terms to supply customers' requirements, changing requirements for better products. So we don't only supply them product, but we give them a good solution to their requirements. So as long as the oil prices are in check, we feel that there are no other major challenges that we may face.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot for answering my questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Sky Ridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. So you said the volumes were lower this quarter. Was it across all sectors or a particular sector was affected more than the others? Because as I understand it, you supply products to a wide range of industries, right? So.
Yes. Thanks, Abhishek, for your question. So overall, if we see, it was only a marginal drop in the volumes for this quarter compared to the previous quarter. And if you will compare to the same quarter last year, we've been doing, the revenues have in fact gone up by almost 20%. So I would say more or less all segments were a slightly slower compared to the second quarter. Especially in segments like for the fast moving consumer goods or cosmetics, we found a little bit slowdown, but more or less we have kept up the volume this quarter, and certain orders we had in the inks and resins industries and other industry, the offtake was a bit delayed, which would be covering up in the subsequent quarter.
Okay, thank you. And my second question is regarding your base oil supply situation. Are we seeing any supply side issues in terms of higher ocean freight costs, maybe pricing issue?
We, as I mentioned in my earlier answer, that about 60 to 70% of our base oils are under supply agreements. So we have contracts with suppliers. So we've not faced any major disruptions in the supply.
So then ocean freight costs?
In the ocean, the ocean freights are continuously being very, very volatile. It's been increasing. But as I said, we it's a part of the cost which is passed on to the customer, and it's a global phenomenon. So customers are now accepting these higher prices because there is no other option. And the export in this quarter was about 43%. It was quite encouraging. So we see a stable supply to our export customers and export markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it from me. Thank you for all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav Anand from UV Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm audible to you.
Hi, Utsav.
Hello. Yes, I'd like to ask you adding the capacity. You are working around at 260,000 currently, right?
Utsav,
you are
not audible.
Your current capacity is 260,000, right?
Yeah, about 240,000.
about 240,000, and by the year end, are you planning to increase this capacity to like 280 or 3 number?
Yeah, about 270,000 in this year. Yes.
In this financial year or the current?
In this financial year.
By first, approximately by first April, we will be operating at 275.
Yeah, by the Q4 end of this quarter four.
End of Q4.
Yeah.
And Dubai, what about Dubai? You are also adding at approximately 10,000 over at Dubai also, right?
Yeah, totally 30,000 from Dubai and from our UAE and the Indian plants. So it would be about 10,000 from Panol, from UAE, and 20,000 from our Indian plants.
By the end of Q4?
Yes.
Okay, and one more question I'd like to ask regarding the new clients that you have added. Can you just give like an approx revenue bracket that they will be dying in? That we can, the company can expect to target the revenue that we will be getting from them?
No, can you repeat your question? I didn't get it.
The new client that has been added to the company on contract basis and monthly basis, what revenue is the company targeting? Like, what order book can we carry from these clients?
Yeah, would be about 5 to 6% from the new customers.
Approximately 5 to 6%.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritka Merchant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Hello, sir. This is Zulfikar Merchant and a shareholder, individual shareholder. So I would like to ask you two questions regarding. Can you brief us the status of the capacity expansion program? And due to the second question is, due to increase in the crude prices recently, how is the operation impacted and effects on the margins?
Yeah, Zulfikar, Mr. Merchant, thank you for your question. So on the CapEx, as I already have informed earlier, we would be increasing the capacity from 240,000 tons to 340,000 tons in the coming 3 years. And in the financial year 2021-22, we would be adding 30,000 tons, which will be commercially available from Q4. On your second question regarding the operating margins, the crude oil has been very, very volatile, what we have seen in this quarter. First it dipped and then again gone up substantially. So it does have an impact on the business and the margins because contracted orders, we have to fulfill all commitments. But we have a pass-on mechanism with our customers. So we have a monthly pass-on mechanism to our customers, and we anticipate the margins would be stable and sustainable as per the guidance given.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudhir Bheda from Right Hand Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and congrats for a steady set of number in the given circumstances.
Thank you.
Sir, my question, actually I have joined a little bit late, so excuse me for that if I am repeating the questions. Sir, can you throw some more light and color on the statement that you just said, okay, our R&D team is working and coming out with the newer and environment-friendly products and which are finding traction in the export market and with the MNC. So, can you elaborate on that? What kind of new products? And as we are moving from 65% value-added product to 90%. So if you can throw some more color on that.
Sure. So thanks for your question, Mr. Veda. We have a DSIR-approved R&D center in our Ankleshwar plant. The team is continuously working on introducing new sets of products. Especially, you know, there are many regulations being enforced world over regarding the, you know, one part of the oil that which is carcinogenic in nature, the aromatic content. There is a global regulation to reduce the polycyclic aromatics in the oils to below 3%. but most of our, certain of our industries, they demand almost nil, zero aromatic. So we are working continuously introducing new products which are compliant to global standards, which are compliant as per the requirements to the customers. And these new products are continuously replacing the existing set of products. Most of the products, you know, the demand for new products come from the customers and to our technical team, to our R&D team, and they keep on, you know, providing them new samples with new formulations, meeting their requirements. So it's an ongoing process, what I would say. It's not an overnight change. There is a continuous addition of new products in our portfolio. We are getting into more specialized segments, and this has really helped us to improve our margins, as you've been seeing numbers. Going forward, we would be wanting to further take up the specialty business up from the current 65%, you know, to about 80 to 85% going forward. So there is a continuous work going on back end with our team, and which has, you know, we've got good results out of that, and we will definitely be continuing this focus. We'll be more focused on this part of our business strategy.
Great, sir. So, and my last two questions is like, I will summarize it in one sentence. In which area those new products will find application?
Yes,
and the second part of it is, so what kind of margin increment we will see in FY23 due to this kind of changes where we are moving to 80-85% of the specialized product?
Yeah, so we are, I know, the especially in segments for the textile industry, in the segments where we are servicing the ink industry, there is a continuous addition of new products. We have also introduced some new products in the drilling industry. So these are the segments where we are continuously more focused and working. With this change in our product mix, you know, we expect the margins to be 12-14% going forward.
So that's what we are doing right now, sir. So what kind of incremental margin we will get as we move from 65% to, let's say, 80-85% or 90%?
Yeah. So especially for the next year, we have a very stable margin guidance, because also we see a lot of volatility ahead. But we are confident to have a guidance on stable margin, range-bound margins.
Mm-hmm. Great, great, sir. Thank you. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Utsav Anand from UB Financial. Please go ahead.
Okay. I just like to ask, you mentioned that we'll be increasing the specialty chemicals share from 65 to 85. The 85%, by when can we expect to achieve that?
It's a gradual changeover, so we have about 3-5% every year. We are planning to replace the existing conventional products with the you know, specialty products. So this would be in the next 5 years.
Next 5 years, and the capacity that you will be adding will be fulfilling this requirement.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Sure. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hussain Rayani for his closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in this call. For any further queries or information, please get in touch with our investor relations team, and we will be very happy to answer them. Thank you very much once again, and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.